Morning. Glad everybody's out on such a cold day. My goodness. Had to trust your car to start when you turned the key on this morning. Huh? Had a lot of songs this morning on trust, and we're going to look at one more towards the end. But our topic today is trust. Our brother Bill Carson spoke most recently on our morality topics, and I believe his last one was on honesty, right, 2 weeks ago? And honesty kind of leads us right into trust. We have many directions that you can go with the topic of trust, but as Bill was speaking, he was talking about relationships vertically in terms of our honesty before God. And trust indeed can be both. We can think of trust both as horizontal, us to God, and also horizontal, or vertical, I should say, and also horizontal, man to man. I'm going to take a look today at our relationship, your relationship with the Lord, between ourselves and the Lord. Last week, Kelly spoke to you. I wasn't here, but I listened to the tape. And what a step of trust, what a step of faith that must be to leave warm Honduras and go over to West Africa for a while and then feel called of God to go up to Afghanistan. They actually were planning to go to Afghanistan before they went to Africa. But what a stark place to take your new bride to, huh? Whether you be thinking of the city of Kabul and all of its problems, or whether you be thinking of the area outside, nearby. Why, those pictures were very interesting. I saw some of them the night before when he was setting up, but the pictures were very interesting of life over in Afghanistan. And we might talk of trust here, but many of our brothers and sisters in Afghanistan and in Indonesia and in Zaire, Congo, and in Burundi right now are really, when you talk about trust, you're talking about trust. You're talking about faith in God to live a testimony. These many countries, the country of Laos has had over 150 pastors arrested in the past 6 weeks. 150 pastors arrested and churches broken up. China is seeing hundreds of false churches, like Brother Henderson showed us, being shut down and being people being attacked, beaten, imprisoned, sometimes for months. Sometimes they don't even tell the people where they're taking their loved ones. They're just gone. So when we talk about trust today, even as our brother Jason mentioned just a couple minutes ago, that the police are even coming around and talking, it's taken on a new meaning of life, a new meaning of definition in our relationship with the Lord and how much we really trust Him as these things come to our attention about risks even here in the United States. Kelly gave a verse at the end, which I had to look in about several different translations to find the right words that he was using. It turned out, I think, to be NIV, Isaiah 41:10. And Isaiah 41:10 says, "Fear thou not, for I am with thee." In fact, it's, "For I will fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness." And I think the translation that Kelly used was, "With my victorious right hand." And he reiterated how he and Rebecca came to find themselves over in Afghanistan. What is trust? What does it mean? Trust. The dictionary I've got, one of these dictionaries about yay high and about, oh, maybe 6 inches wide and about 3 inches thick at home. They use 48 lines in their definitions of the word trust. That's quite a bit. We're not going to go over all of them today, which I'm sure you'll be glad of. But trust, a firm belief, right? A firm belief or confidence in the honesty, the integrity, the reliability, justice, etc., of another person or thing. Faith, reliance. It can also be defined as confident expectation, anticipation, or hope, such as have trust in the future, have trust in the Lord. So the topic today is trust, how it's demonstrated and included in your lives as believers, in the lives of your children, in the lives of your family, those around you, particularly though our trust in terms of how we place our trust in God. Perhaps there's some here today that have not yet accepted the Lord as their personal Savior. As I look across, I know most of you, but perhaps there's some that have not yet accepted the Lord as your Savior, or maybe you've just recently accepted the Lord as your Savior and are in the process of growing. It's our desire that if there's anyone here today that doesn't know the Lord, even as Tom mentioned in his song leading at the end, it's our desire that you come to know the Lord as your personal Savior today. And if you know the Lord already, then you might continue to grow in your relationship with Him. Trust is used, the word trust is translated in the King James 142 times in the scriptures. 142 times. And used in about five different ways, basically. Trust is generally something earned when you know a person, right? Whether it be a co-worker, or whether it be, it could be an acquaintance, could be a neighbor. How much trust do we place in that person? Earned from the knowledge of the person or the object you're trusting. Past experiences sometimes convinces you to trust or not to trust the person, right? Sometimes we shy away from certain events or certain people because of problems we've had in the past. But other times, you can have relationships with people in full confidence because they've been trustworthy in the past. Paul wrote to Timothy, "Timothy, keep that which is committed to thy trust." So he needed to be trustworthy. Tom's going to pick that up next week. Character needs to be dependable. Character needs to be dependable, or we tend less to place trust in a person. Sometimes there's such a thing as blind trust. There was a fellow, you may have heard about it last week, there was a father and a son up in North Tonawanda, I believe it was, up in Ellicott Creek or Parge Canal. Maybe it was Erie Canal. And the father was taking his son across the canal. He trusted the ice. That was a blind trust. He didn't know how thick that ice was. And even though there's ice on the canal, sometimes there's currents coming in from streams underneath or springs underneath, and that ice cracked and they both fell in. And he was able to push his son to safety to the fireman that came out on the ice. He was able to push his son up and out to safety, but he drowned. He trusted in something that didn't have enough of a strength to support him, and he died as a result of it. So blind trust sometimes can be good, and it pay off. Sometimes it doesn't, and it's a tragedy like it was for that fellow. I have down your choice may be rewarded or pained, depending on the validity of your decision. Let's take a look at some verses. Why should we trust? Should we trust? Why should we trust? How can we trust God? I've got five different points here today. One is that we're exhorted to. Let's look at Proverbs 3:5. That's a familiar one. We're going to look at a number of verses today. But Proverbs 3:5 and 6 is one that we've heard from many of us have heard from youth. We had some interesting uses of the word trust in the hymns that we were singing this morning. And I'm going to get into them a little bit, because I jotted down a few notes on the top of my notes. But Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Let's see. Here we go. Let's start at verse 1, just for context here. I don't know if there is context in Proverbs, since it's just a collection, but let's start at verse 1. My son, forget not my law, but let your heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall I add to thee. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them upon thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Now there's a statement in the Word of God that's written just as for that time as well as it is for today. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Our trust in the Lord shouldn't just be with apathy. You know, it's, oh yeah, I trust in God. You know, but with all thine heart. It has to be with desire. It has to be with strength and with confidence and with earnestness. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. James, we were looking at the book of James in prayer meeting recently, and when he talked about prayer, effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. It's not just prayer, but the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And so here in Proverbs, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Some emotion in our walk with the Lord. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not on thine own understanding. In all the, and it also leads into not just trust, but it also leads into verbalization and in telling others of God. In all thy ways acknowledge him. So that our trust must lead to also to telling others that we're trusting in him, right? It's written that if you give a glass of water in Jesus' name, you know, you'll be rewarded. And if you just give a glass of water, you know, it doesn't say that it's going to be in Jesus' name. It doesn't say you're going to get much of a reward. But if we meet strangers, if we meet people, and we let them know that I'm doing this because I love the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, not that that's a badge that you put down every time as a bragging thing, but in sincerity, why, there's a reward with it. And here it says, and lean not unto thine understanding, in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. We're exhorted to in Proverbs. So let's take a look up in back in Psalms. Psalm 62:8. You might remember Nathan Thomas speaking last year on a coin, what's on all our coins, right? In God we trust. And I just read this past 2 weeks ago that act which Nathan talked about and shared with us of getting the words in God we trust on the coins and all of our currency was the last act that Lincoln signed in his life before he went and was assassinated. That was apparently, from what I read this past week or so ago, that was his last proclamation that he signed. That's kind of an interesting thing that turned out to be, that he got that in before John Wilkes Booth took his life. Psalm 62, in verse, let's start with verse 5. My soul, wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from him. He only is my rock and my salvation. He's my defense. I shall not be moved. In God is my salvation and my glory. The rock of my strength and my refuge is in God. Trust in him at all times. Not just the good times. Trust in him at all times. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. Selah. So, it's easy to trust God when things are fine, right? But when things get tough, and tough get going, they say, right? But when things get tough, we need to trust in the Lord too. And again, here's that passion in our faith, and passion in our trust. Pour out your heart before him. In our prayers, what's our prayer life like? Is it formal? Hope not. It needs to be intimate with God. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. Trust in him at all times. Over a few pages of Psalm 115. These are exhortations from the hymn writers of the Psalms. Psalm 115. There's three of them here, actually, in this particular passage. Let's see. The first one is in verse 9. O Israel, trust thou in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. Second one, verse 10. O house of Aaron, trust in the Lord, for he is your help and your shield. Verse 11, ye that fear the Lord, that's us. We might not be the house of Aaron or the house of Israel, but that's us. Ye that fear the Lord, if you know him as your Savior, trust in the Lord, for he's your help and your shield. Two pronouncements of what God is as we trust in him and why we should trust in him. Then the last one that I'm going to give for why that, for just the plain fact that we're exhorted to trust in him is Isaiah 26. Let's take a look at that. Isaiah 26. Talking about a converted, restored and converted Israel, but let's look at it. Verse 1. In that day shall this song be sung in the land of Judah. We have a strong city. Salvation will God appoint for walls and bulwarks. Open ye the gates that the righteous nation which keeps the truth may enter in. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Trust ye in the Lord forever. For in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. Trust ye in the Lord forever. For in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. We need strength, don't we? Whether it be emotional strength, whether it be physical strength, or it be spiritual strength. The statement here is that in the Lord Jehovah there is strength. So we're exhorted throughout the Scriptures. I was thinking also of examples in Scripture, and I thought of four. I thought of Job. Let's just take one look at Job 13, and we're going to look. That's probably the only verse we're going to look up in this section. But Job chapter 13, very familiar verse to many. Job chapter 13 and verse 13. Hold your peace, let me alone, that I may speak, and let come on me what will. Wherefore do I take my flesh in my teeth and put my life in my hand? Though he slay me, Job says, yet will I trust in him. But I'll maintain my own ways before him. He also shall be my salvation, for a hypocrite shall not come before him. Though he slay me. Boy, Job lost everything except his wife and three friends, right? Job lost his family, his children in a whirlwind. He lost his servants. He lost his livestock. You read through that first and second chapter of Job, and it's just wiped right out. He lost everything except his faith in God. And he said, though he slay me, and he was already hurting with boils and sores, and even scraped them with pieces of pottery just to because they probably itched so much and were oozing so much. You can read about Job's problems that he had health-wise. But he also had lost so much. And he's at a point now where his physical body is being attacked, and he says, though he slay me, yet I will trust him. Now there's a faith, there's a trust that we can use for an example. And God honored him. And in the end of his life, God honored him and restored that which he had lost. Second one would be Abraham. Our brother Dave's been sharing Abraham, father of faith, friend of God. What trust Abraham must have had to leave Babylonia, go up the Euphrates, the trail they went, instead of going across the desert west to Jerusalem, or Salem, let's see, Jabez, I guess it was then. Instead of going straight west across the desert mountains, they went up the Euphrates Valley, went all the way up to northern part of where is now Iraq, and then came back across and came down through Lebanon, what now is Lebanon and Syria, and came down through the valley. A long, long trek, probably 1,000 miles, 800 miles, something like that, I would think. Long trek. And God told Abraham to leave family, and I'll take you to a land that I'll show you. And he went, got up and went. And then he tried him with other things. He tested him with his sacrifice of Isaac, his son. And Abraham trusted him. And all through a number of other things that we read in the Scriptures, how Abraham trusted in God. Second and third one would be Joseph. I remember when Dave was doing his flannelgraph for the Cenefels a couple of times ago, when he had the scene of Joseph and made the comment of, as Joseph had been sold into slavery by his brothers, and following those camels with the scent of, well, a lot of different scents with a camel, but with the scent of the incense and the stuff that they were, the spices that they were taking, and smelling that stuff all the way down into Egypt, quite a long way, several day trip, 3 or 4 day trip probably, walking behind a bunch of camels, and could he trust God at that point? Could he trust God that everything was going to work out? A short time after that, a few years after that, he turns out to be the second highest in the nation, just behind Pharaoh. And he saved the nation from, because of God's revealing and God's revelation to him about the dreams and interpreting the dreams of Pharaoh, he was used to save a nation from famine, where thousands, tens, probably hundreds of thousands of people could have died from famine. But God used Joseph. Joseph trusted in God. He brought his family back to him, and it brought his family back up into the land so that they could survive during those last several years of the famine as well, and made a great nation while they were there in Egypt. The fourth one would be Moses. I've been reading the Old Testament chronologically, and I'm up into just got into the Promised Land, and in fact they already conquered the land now, and they're dividing up the nation into the different tribes. But as Moses was also a person that we could use as one who trusted in God, starting out from birth, his life was saved because of the faith of his parents and putting him in the ark and in the Nile. And then God saw that ark was discovered, and that ark didn't get tipped over and Moses drowned, but his parents put their trust in God that, you know, that he would be safe there. And then he was brought up in the house of Pharaoh, but then he went out into the desert in the wilderness for 40 years when he went out in his second 40 years of life. And then at the end, the last 40 years, he wound up, God said, "You're going back to Egypt, and you're going to bring my people out of Egypt." And Moses was staggered by that for a while. You know, he said, "Who am I? I can't talk." You know, and all that dialogue that he has. That first dialogue he has at the burning bush with God. And he was a little doubtful as to that he could do it. But then we saw that God put Aaron in with him, and then they went in, and he finally wound up coming before Pharaoh, proclaiming the 10 plagues, seeing God following through with everything that he told him, and he put every one of those plagues on Egypt that he said he would, trusting God to take them out to the Red Sea, and having mountains on the left and mountains on the right, and the Egyptian army behind them, and having the Red Sea. He trusted God that if he followed the directions and cast down, put his rod, why the Red Sea part. You know, God, he trusted God, and he exhibited the faith, not just to trust him, but also to exhibit the faith and do the things. Was he perfect? No. There was a couple of times when he failed, when he was angry with the people and frustrated, and he acted out of anger and frustration and struck the rock instead of spoke to it. Just think of how would our reaction be if one of us, of the oversight or someone else from the chapel here, if we just talked to the piano and a river of water came out of it, you know? I mean, God wanted to exhibit his strength, but Moses didn't let him. Moses disobeyed. But Moses trusted God. He failed a couple times, but he trusted God all the way through the desert. He had dialogue with God in terms of this people, your people, my people, you know, and interesting life to study Moses. But God honored that and let him come right to the brink of the Promised Land. He took him up into Mount Nebo or Pisgah and let him look over the land and see the land. And then Moses passed into the presence of the Lord and died. God buried him there in one of the mountains. So we have Job, we have Abraham, we have Joseph and Moses, just for a few of the case studies that you could look at if you're looking for people that trusted God. And I didn't just trust, but acted as well. We need to act as well as just believing. Third one is his power. One of the early Psalms that I was challenged to memorize in my Sunday school class when I was in junior high Sunday school class was Psalm 91. Let's turn to Psalm 91. Dave gave us this as an assignment one year when he was a Sunday school teacher of, I think, junior high kids. I was in junior high once. It was a long time ago. In fact, I was in junior high about 18 years. I shouldn't say that. You know, I was, but it wasn't during that period of time. It was when I was actually a student that I'm talking. Psalm 91 in verse 1. "He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him will I trust." You know, the first set of passages I gave you were exhortations in the Psalms and Proverbs, trust in the Lord. But now we have someone saying, "I am trusting in the Lord. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him will I trust. Surely He will deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noise and pestilence." Back a few Psalms, in Psalm 37. Let's look at verse 4 while we're here. "He shall cover thee with His feathers, and under His wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler." There's the story that we've heard, probably many of us have heard several times, about the farmyard where there were a bunch of chickens in the farmyard, and there was a fire coming. And the hen gathered the chickens under her wings. And at the end of the fire, the hen was dead, but the chicks were still alive when the farmer kicked the carcass off of the chicks. Why? Didn't even know there were chicks under it. Why the chicks scurried out. I will gather thee, he shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. And if we're in that kind of a trust, then verse 5 follows, thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walks in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. Now, that's a very fitting psalm for today, isn't it? We're in a country that right now is challenging Iraq, and we have an enemy that we can't see. You know, most of the wars of the United States, we've been able to see the enemy. We knew where they were. And it's usually on other people's soil. But we don't know where our enemies are. We had 6 arrested even just in 6 miles from here, probably even 4 miles from here. We don't know where our enemies are. So remember this passage this week. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walks in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. Remember, even if war comes, or anything comes, you know the Lord, absent from the body is present with the Lord, right? Absent with the body is present with the Lord. And we have that great hope that we have, which the Lord has given us in his word. Let's go back to Psalm 37. Psalm 37, another statement of God's power and strength and care for us. The Lord shall help them and deliver them. In fact, let's go to verse 39. The salvation of the righteous is of the Lord. He is their strength in time of trouble. The Lord shall help them and deliver them. He shall deliver them from the wicked and save them because they trust in him. Because they trust in him. We were just singing a little while, trust in him, you saints forever. He is faithful, changing never. Neither force nor guile can sever those he loves from him. Isn't that a great, great verse in that hymn? Trust in him, ye saints forever. He is faithful, changing never. Neither force nor guile can sever those he loves from him. What a that whole song has a number of verses in there which speak to us very firmly of the power and the strength of the Lord. Then the last one on that topic is Nahum 1:7. We exhorted to, we have examples in this last one of his power. Nahum, Ezekiel, Daniel, Isaiah, Joel, Amos, Obadiah, Jonah, Micah, Nahum, Habakkuk. Nahum 1:7. The Lord is good. Isn't that how Kelly started out his message last week? I think, was that how Kelly started out his message last week, right? God is good, right? He's good all the time. The Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble, and he knoweth them that trust in him. The Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble, and he knoweth them. He knows you. He's not only an all-powerful God, but he's an omniscient God. And he knows you. He knows your fears. He knows your concerns. He knows your strengths. He knows your failures. You know, he knows us. The Lord is good, a stronghold in day of trouble, and he knoweth them that trust in him. Okay, there's two other parts of my topic here which I thought of. And the fourth one would be that he does his proven love. I had the title was his proven love. We can trust in him because he loves us. And then Tom started off the songs with Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. And I'm thinking, oh, that's going to fit right in too, you know, because I had that right in there. And I did not get together with Tom ahead of time. He did not get together with me in terms of what songs to pick out. I just told him one not to use, suggested not to use one. But and then the fourth title here I have is his proven love. It says in Psalm 17:7, show thy marvelous loving kindness, O thou that savest by thy right hand them which put their trust in thee. from those that rise up against them. Psalm 36:7, how excellent is thy loving kindness, O God. Therefore, the children of men put their trust in the shadow of thy wings. And in our familiar verse we have up on the wall here, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. God loves us. That's another reason we can trust in him. He not only is strong, he not only is our provider, he not only is like a fortress and a bulwark for us, but he loves us. He loves you. He loves me. Don't forget that. And then the last one in Romans 5:8, God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And there's many other verses we could use that talk about how God loves us, so we can trust in him because he loves us. But probably one of the greatest things we need to trust in God is that we're helpless in ourselves to attain eternal life. We're helpless in ourselves to get to heaven. We looked at that a little bit a few weeks ago. Let's look at Romans 3. Well, you know Romans 3:23. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We in ourselves need a Savior. If you're here, as I said earlier today, if you're here today and you don't have a Savior, you need a Savior. We're in desperate straits if you don't know the Lord as your personal Savior. Because all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. A couple chapters later, Paul writes, for when we were yet without strength, Romans 5:6, when we were yet without strength, Christ died for us. When we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. Let's look at Isaiah 64:6. Isaiah 64:6. And I encourage you to really get into the memorization program that the Sunday school has had for the last 2 years. Because a lot of the passages I'm given today came from a packet of manila cards, about 35 or 36, I think, in total, that Brother Dave passed out to the AYA group just a few decades ago. And when you memorize the Word of God, you know, it's there. You might not remember all the verses, the whole verse at once, you know. You might have to review it a little bit. But boy, those verses come back to you, you know. And a lot of the verses we've had in the past 4 months here in Sunday school were just in those first 36 verses or so that we had in young people's, in the AYA group, back in the 50s. And I would encourage you to participate in the memorization program. It's a good thing for the kids to see people quoting the Word of God, see adults, their parents, their grandparents, repeating the Word of God by heart. It's a good thing for young people to see. It's a good thing for that high school class in the back corner to see, to have adults participate in memorizing the Word of God. It's not easy sometimes. It's work. I've noticed, though, the more you try to memorize, the more easily you start to get a rhythm in the, observe a rhythm in the passages, and you can, it helps you. But I'd really encourage you, because this is another verse, Isaiah 64:6, one that we had to memorize back years ago. We are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousness are as filthy rags. And we all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, have taken us away. You know, we need to trust in God because we're unclean. In ourselves, we're unclean. Our righteousness are as filthy rags. And I think, if I remember the Hebrew writing here, it refers to like menstrual rags, filthy rags. And we all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, have taken us away. So we are exhorted to trust God. We have examples in the Scripture, throughout the Scripture, and examples of people around us too, those who have trusted in God. He's powerful enough to be trusted. He loves us to be trusted so we can trust him, and we have a great need. So, I have down here, how is it? Where are you today? In whom are you placing your trust for your daily needs? Your IRA accounts, you know, your 401ks. Where are we trusting? Are we trusting in our government? We need to trust in God. What are we trusting for our eternal needs? Do things in our life need to be reordered? Do you need to reevaluate your priorities? Spend some time today and consider the direction of your life and your dependence upon or independence from God. And as I mentioned earlier a couple of times, for any of you that are not walking in a trusting relationship with the Lord, today's the day to get it settled. If you don't know the Lord as your Savior, today's the day to get that settled.